It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning.
We've got it all covered for you right here.
Joey Montagna, Jay-Z Clark, Emma Friedman, and everything sport.
Are you a tomato or a barbecue sauce?
Look, I hate barbecue sauce.
Too sweet?
The most rank thing.
Is it?
This
I'm a spicy red meat.
Is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Anything goes.
Footy journo, Jay-Z Clark.
Give me a spell, broccoli price.
And horse racing royalty, Emma Friedman.
Can it just stop? Oh, my God.
It's everything you need to kickstart your weekend.
I'm up and about today.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to another edition of Dead Set Legends with you every Saturday from 10 o'clock. Joey, Jay, Emma and lovely Rosie. Oh, morning team, what a week, hey? What a week.
Good morning, Emma. Morning, Jay, Rosie. What a week. It's a fair way to start, isn't it? It's bizarre.
It sure is. You know, right off the top of the show, I'm going to declare an amnesty on video conferencing. Em, now, you haven't lived this week if you haven't photobombed or barged into accidentally your partner's or your housemate's video conference. Yes, yeah, video conference. But, I mean, certainly in my case, 10 a.m. Wednesday morning, I was in my pyjamas, and I'm pretty sure my wife's whole workforce saw me.
Is that scrubby T-shirt you wear? That scrubby T-shirt you wear to bed every night?
That's so gross.
You can't frown at that sort of stuff. That's the sort of – they're the beautiful moments that are going to happen. You're going to be in your partner's video conference at the moment in your rug boots. So,
what is the protocol with what you should wear when you do a video conference from home? Like, is it
business
anything
up top, party down the bottom.
Is that right, or can it be sort of anything goes on the video conferencing?
I think it's a casual dress.
Is it?
A friend of mine wore a tutu the other day, one of hers.
Is that right?
Just for a bit of a lull.
I like that. I think the business shirt when you're sat up in your home study or your bedroom.
No, it doesn't work.
Nah, come on.
That's a joke.
Early give me a spell. Business shirt in the home video conference.
Yeah.
Maybe a polo. Is the only collar.
Oh, I don't even think a collar. No. I think ban the collar.
I think you're right. Anything goes. Like I found this week, like literally I can wear, I've never done it ever, but I can wear my Ugg boots down the street now. You can go for a walk in your Ugg boots because everyone understands. It's like,
Handy.
Well, we're staying at home. There's nothing, no need to dress up. So I've been going for walks in my Ugg boots.
Has that been your win for the week?
Like, yeah, I have not taken my Ugg boots off all week and literally been wearing, because everyone understands the situation. Yeah. Why would I take my Ugg boots off? Not putting
there
in.
Are some positives to being at home. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, it's this, and that, and we know the world is going through a really difficult time, but if you can find those little positives in your life during the next God knows how long, maybe 2, 3, 4 months as it continues, I reckon that's the way to go. Even just, you know, being at home for me most of the week with Will and not having to go to work every second day and, you know, leave him and take him to daycare and stuff. My goodness, he's chatting so much more. He's so close to walking now, like we're any day. It's just, and Charlie said the same thing. You know, he's been working from home for a couple of weeks now, and we did a family Zoom call last night, which I know is a bit, it's a bit naff, but we did it. And everyone went through, you know, their highs for the week, and Charlie actually said, it's actually been seeing my wife and my child a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. There is a bit of a bonding in that. Aaron and I have been, we'll chat about it probably a bit later, Jay, but get the bottle of red out, and you have a couple of glasses of red, probably a few more than we used to have, because it's a bit more of a quieter week, and you really bond with your partner. And as you said, you're hanging out with your kids, you've got to look at the positives in that. There's nothing better.
Yeah, it is good. Coming up today, we've got a good show for you as well. Former basketball legend Lauren Jackson to give us a call. The Olympics, of course, have been postponed, but the Women's World Cup is set to be held in Sydney in 2 years' time, an announcement just a couple of days ago, which is great. We have a new segment alert. We're going to retrace and relive our favourite sporting memories of all time. First cab off the rank involves soccer commentator Simon Hill, so put your thinking cap on there. Maybe you can guess it, but we're going to go through that one a little later on. Plus, Billy Brownless in a bit later to have a big laugh with us too. Jay-Z, footy pay deal between the AFLPA and the AFL yesterday seemed to be agreed upon between the two parties. What's the latest there?
Yeah, significant deal. So the AFL players will cop a 50% pay cut for the next 2 months until the May 31 deadline. And then if games don't start immediately, which is looking pretty unlikely at this stage. The players then get a 70% pay cut until games resume. So whether that's 2 or 3 months, it'll be 50% pay cut to begin with, and then a 70% when they do start playing games, it comes back to 50%. Gil McLachlan, we understand, has been working 20 hours a day this sort of stuff, and a bid to secure a $500-600 million loan from NAB and ANZ, we think, to try and save the game, really. So he's been working around the clock. I think this pay deal is actually a great result on both parties, yes, but more so for the players. I mean, we've been hearing over the past couple of weeks that they would, that the AFL wanted them to take a bigger haircut, 75%, Joey, 80%, yep, which would have left players on bare bones. Marlon Pickett, he's on 80 grand a year plus match payment. So that is a huge haircut for someone like him. So I think the players this morning would be pretty happy with that. What do you think?
70% pay cut for the players if no games go ahead. Do you think that's a win for the players?
Well, I think as it's structured, 50 for 2 months, then 70 and then 50, I think that is a good result, yeah.
Well, I think it's clever by Gil McLachlan because, as you said, 70% pay cut if there are no games for the players, but a 50% pay cut even if we play a season on the back end of the year.
Yep.
I think Gil McLachlan is a genius. I think he's backing himself in to somehow work a 17-game season. He's adamant that he's going to get this 17-game season plus finals, and they're still going to take half the players' pay. I think Gil's backing himself in to be able to manufacture a season and almost double-dipping the AFL. They're going to get some money back through the broadcasting and get a season out and also take 50% of the players' money. So I think you're right. I think in the end, the players should be really happy with this deal, and I think the AFL now just got to back themselves in to hold a season and still skim 50% of the players' money.
You're so right, Joey. Gil has been amazing over the last couple of weeks. As we sat here last week, this announcement of the season being suspended hadn't been announced yet. But seeing him in the last probably 6-7 days, wow, what a leader the AFL has.
And to do this in a week, Jay, I mean, these negotiations when the CBA comes up, takes about 6 months, and they've been able to do this in a week. I think it's been a great effort.
The big issue on clubs' minds at the moment is list sizes, Joey. So they are expecting to come down to 30 to 35. Now, currently, each club has about 45 players. So that's 10 to 15 players coming off each list to reduce that salary cap and clubs' costs. What do you think about that sort of move? So you'd have 30 or 35 players on a senior list and then 10 players, say, on a supplement list who training at a VFL club. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm a big advocate for this, and I have been for a while. I just think list sizes are too big. And when you look at the numbers, as you said, 45 players per club average on a list, about 36 per club actually get a game. So there's already 9 players that spend a full season at a football club that don't actually play a game. And there's about up to another 7, 8, 9 players. So about between 15 and 18 players per season that only contribute 3 games or less to a football club. So that main 30 play about 75-80% of the games for a team. And I just think that these bottom 10 players, and I spoke to a few clubs just to make sure that I was on the same page through my experiences, the bottom 10 to 12 players are the ones that take up the most resources. They're the ones that need the extra strength and conditioning staff because of generally those players aren't playing because they're not quite physically up to it. They take up the most player welfare time, because they're generally a bit more, whether it's immature or not quite ready for senior football.
And they're not playing. And
they're not playing, so they take up the physio, the doctor's times. They're the ones that get all the extra coaching. That's why there's so many development coaches. So I think if you automatically cut back your list size by about 10, automatically that eliminates some of this extra football department staff that everyone's talking about because you won't need as many staff because all of a sudden you'll have your elite 32 to 35 players who generally are a bit more self-driven, are probably at a higher standard where they don't need as much sort of looking after from football staff, and it'll lift the standard of football. You'll have just the better players at training every day, training together. You can have high-level meetings. You can take the game to another level. And if you need some players because of injury, which you are going to need, you call upon them and bring them up from a second tier, not wasting resources and money at a football club when up to 15 players per season only contribute 3 games or less.
And then I think the game potentially becomes, on the back of all this, more unstructured. This could help improve the game in a way because there is a lot of defensive running, a lot of that endurance, you know, beast. What we want to see is the Petrarchas, the Degoes, the guys who've got the natural football craft.
Less and, coaching.
And less voices. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that could come to the fore here because you're going to have guys come up from the VFL, not because they run a 16 beep, because they can hit a target inside 50.
Exactly right. And if it's less structured, they don't need to take as long to adapt to a game plan. And also what it does, it lifts the standard of the second tier competitions because all of a sudden, it could be up to 180 players, Emma, that have been on an AFL list and now back at a second-tier competition
who are training
and are desperate to get back on an AFL list. So they'll be doing everything they can and hopefully trains them up to be more self-driven, self-motivated, do all the extra work, lift the standard of the whole second-tier competition, whether it's VFL, SANFL, and then we can have a whole stronger system. We've got a great under-18 program. I think it's that middle-tier program we just need to fix, that development league.
Yeah.
And then clubs can call upon a few players if needed, but you've got your elite 32 to 35 at a football club, cutting out some resources, cutting out some extra football staff, and you'll have a better product going forward because it's just the best of the best.
So instead of having your list development and forward planning within a club, you have your second tier, say your affiliate that you're very strongly associated with in the VFL or the SANFL or whatever it is that you can draw upon in the future when you have retirements and major injuries and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Which makes a lot of sense, Joey.
And then you want people to be able to go up and down. So you want guys that are in the second tier to work really hard on their game to get onto a list because it'll be more lucrative for them and it'll be a higher achievement and vice versa. The bottom four or five players at every club will know that if they don't sort of lift their standard and pull their finger out, they'll be back playing at a second-tier competition for a lot less money. So I just think that competitive drive lifts everybody.
I think later on, Emma, I want to know how many times Joey kicked a poor little first or second or third-year player off the massage table.
I used to do my head in when the players never got a game. They're always getting massage and physio and us old blokes at the weight.
Tales from the massage table a little later on Dead Set Legends.
Jack Lynch Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
I wear men's deodorant if we're really sharing and caring this morning.
Revelation.
Yeah, I think it smells way better.
Really?
I'm really different to most women.
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
We are guiding you through things, sport and also COVID-19, let's be honest, because the last week has seen, I'd say most of Australia really adhering to those self-isolation laws now. You know, you're staying indoors, only going to get your groceries, go for a walk to the park with the dog and not go near the play equipment. But I'd say, 95% of your time's at home at the moment, boys, is that fair?
Yeah, starting to look that way, isn't it? And it's wonder for how long too, like if this is going to be, looking at a couple of months and we're already starting to get sick of things, aren't we, Emma? And it's been really 1 or 2 weeks of being homebound. Jay, I'm not sure what it's going to be like in another 8 weeks.
Yeah, with three youngsters at our house.
I'm calling it the zoo, your house. Yeah, it's definitely the zoo.
A bit like that. We have one of our neighbours who's an artist, she drew rainbows on our footpath out the front of the houses where the kids are, which was a lovely touch because we can't go to the park.
Have you seen what other people are doing there? They're putting their teddy bears in the windows.
Yes.
So every time you go for a walk, the kids have got, kids have got something to look at. That's pretty cool.
We've got that as well. But you know, it's cop the flogging at my house, it's fair to say, Em.
Yeah.
Now, I resented that trampoline, which I dug in the wrong spot in my backyard.
It's caused you a lot of grief.
For many months. Flat out dug it at a car-sized hole in my backyard in the wrong spot.
Why did you choose to do this? Like, you could get someone, Airtasker, get someone to do it.
Tight ass, that's why. It
was a day and a half, and I wanted to prove that I could do stuff.
No, you're a tight ass.
Stuff like this, Joey. Shut up. Anyway, so I've resented this trampoline. It has been an absolute godsend. My four-year-old daughter has been on it flat stick all week. She could turn into an Olympic gymnast the way she's going. She's got the seat drop. She's got the forward roll. She's got the back, all the sort of different things. So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, how much trampoline time is too much?
No, there's never enough. It just exhausts them. It's great.
That's a good one. See, Noah's still at an age where he's not at that stage yet where he can really go and play outside all day. He's still not two yet. So I think you can't get judged at this time, and screen time has gone a little bit higher than we expected. And the Wiggles in particular, Emma, the Wiggles is doing my head in. I love
Sing
Emma,
song,
but
Joey.
Seriously, I know I'm all off by heart.
Give us a little.
I'm not doing that one. Hot potato. And he does all the actions, which is really cute, but man, I don't know how much Wiggles I can take, but it does kill 45 minutes to an hour when we just do need a little bit of peace and quiet because at that age, as you know, Em, you have to entertain them yourself. You've got to be active with them. He wants to play with Daddy the whole time and even Daddy needs a little chill out every now and then. And
Daddy needs a G&T as well.
It's with Wiggles on in the background, so that's copying a flogging at my house.
What about you, Em?
I reckon you're all in the same boat here. The grog cupboard has got a right royal flogging over the last
taken a hit.
Couple
And what time was beer o'clock traditionally at your house?
I'd say bath time, which is about 6 p.m. when Will was in the bath, Charlie would usually on a Thursday and Friday maybe crack open a beer or have a glass of wine while that's happening. Now, I reckon that's been brought forward to about three or four.
Yeah. For an item wine this week at 3:30. Right? Yeah. Story. Yeah. Had to. Yeah. It's just the stress.
You've got no choice.
Yeah. You're stuck in your house. Your kids are
I was 2:42 yesterday afternoon. With corn chips.
It is Friday though, right, Rosie? That was okay. That's Friday lunch, basically.
2:42.
And that's a midweek day. What happens on Saturday?
And Rosie was looking at the clock for 2 hours before she had it.
Oh, when can we open one, right? 10:28, too early. Hey, we want to know.
It is. There's a lot of drinking going people, on.
Don't, and the people in the cars right now, don't judge us. No, we know don't. You've been thinking the same thing.
Just, this is a society. Don't lie to yourselves, guys.
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
Hey, we do want to know, 133353, what's copped a flogging at your house this week? Bring or in. What are you absolutely sick of already? Yeah. Maybe it's
the more
Peppa
random
Pig.
The better. The more random, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the frozen meals, you know? Things in the freezer just getting a little bit old already.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to do what you got to do to keep everyone safe.
A lot of people listening at home on the radios because there's not much on TV at the moment, as we know. So,
oh, mate. Can I just give one more thing? Like, I applaud both Fox League and Fox Footy for doing it. But maybe I'm running out of ideas, but Fox Footy Live and Fox League Live, my goodness, that's gonna continue for a while, and I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Is that fair?
Last night, Geelong St Kilda, one of the great games of all time.
Yeah, so a lot of people text me last night.
Pick your brains on that maybe in the second hour, Joey, but that was outstanding.
One of the things I'm not over just yet, M and J, are the memes that people come up with.
Love
at this
the memes.
Time. A lot of people got a lot of time on their hands, and there are a lot of funny memes going around, so you've always got to share them. And the other thing, too, is House Party, the new app that all of us have been exposed to the last couple of days. But for people that haven't heard of it, it's basically an app where you can join with all your friends and you can have 2, 3, 4, 5 people, all your friends all online on video conferencing basically all at once. And you can have a chat to each other like you're sitting in the lounge room. People can come and go as they please, hence why it's called a house party. You can walk in, walk out of the conversation, and that is a good way to connect with all your friends during this time when you can't catch up at bars and cafes anymore. House Party's been a bit of a saviour for us at home.
I was doing that last night, Joey, before we go to our calls, 133353, what has copped a flogging at your house this week? And I was on the phone on a house party to my friend Daisy, and she was saying that the other night there was a couple of them on a group chat, and one girl from our school from 15 years ago, who no one has seen, just randomly like jumped into the chat, which was a bit of a shock, I think.
Oh, Sheree, haven't seen
you. How are you? You married with 3 kids nowadays? Oh, that's great to hear. Let's go to Jason in Mill Park. What's copped a flogging at your house this week, Jace?
Hello guys, happy Saturday. My wife's been barbecuing in the afternoon just for luncheons and stuff, and I've come home and smashing the barbie pretty much every night, and mid barbie last night ran out of gas.
Oh yes.
No.
But the kicker to this story is I deliver gas all day, every day. So I'm in the energy sector. So
Jason.
Not cool. Yeah, I know. I've got all these empty barbecue bottles sitting there. What do I got to do?
Oh, Jace.
But can I just say, I'm out working, and there are still people coughing it up, standing at coffee trucks, and there's, you know, I'm delivering gas to old folks' homes and trying to keep, you know, stuff going. I'm working. I'm one of the lucky ones. But, yeah, do the right thing, people.
Yeah,
it's a good point, Jace. If you don't need to be out and about, if you've got a slight tickle in your throat or anything like that, just please stay at home. I know it can get boring, but find the positives like we are this morning. We'll entertain you from your living room as well. Great to hear from you this morning, mate. Alan in Noble Park, what's copped a flogging at your house this week, mate?
Oh, well, I'm a truck driver and I very rarely get home during the week, but I was listening to you before about your drink time. What's a good time for drinking?
Maybe that should drinking, have been the phone.
Right. Now, it's 10:30 here in Noble Park in Melbourne, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, in New Zealand, it's 12:30, so to me, that's a good drink time.
Absolutely. It's 12:30. It's 12:30 somewhere.
12:30 somewhere. Yeah. Sun's past the yard arm somewhere. Not much to flog in my house during the week because I'm not home.
Fair enough.
All right, thank you.
Well done.
Thanks, Al. Thanks, Al.
Out driving the trucks.
But, so 10:30 for Al on a Saturday, eh?
Yeah.
It's a little smidgy early, isn't it?
We're not encouraging that. But, no. Could. We don't need a glass every now and then.
What did you think? Can we just tap into the Geelong St Kilda game quickly now?
Yeah, so we're going to see a lot of retro games, aren't we, AFL footy?
Was that the best home and away game you played in, Joey?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, without a doubt.
What was it like out in the field?
That was the loudest game I've ever played in front of. I can actually remember the noise because it was the biggest crowd that's ever been at Etihad Stadium, Marvel Stadium. Under the roof, there was nearly 55,000 packing it. And it was just a real, vibration in the stadium. You could actually hear the energy. And it was a marvellous build-up because both teams were 13-0 at that stage, both undefeated, which I think was the furthest into a season two teams had gone without losing. And it was a great build-up to that week, and it was a great game, and it had a lot of people, as I said, text me last night watching that footy.
The Michael Gardner mark deserves to be rated more highly, I think. So when we talk about the great marks, is Nick Riewoldt's courage, you know, the John Brown back with the flight, all
Gary
the high
Ablett.
Marks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael, he came in from the side with such pace and such power and somehow stuck. Like, it is just an unbelievable mark. You played a part in that link-up. You were on the wing. You had it, the little dink, the 25-metre dink over to Lenny Hayes. Luke Ball. Yeah. He put it inside 50. Can you freeze time there? What were you thinking at that moment? Were you were about centre-half forward at that point.
No, I just remember Gardy, who had been dominant that game. He'd already kicked three goals. We know he loved to push forward and kick a goal, big Gardy. But you're right, he ran from like the wing on the other side of the ground because he knew we needed a goal, push forward. And to take that mark, he knocked Harry Taylor out with his elbow. Like, he hit that pack. Think about Michael Gardner, 110 kilos. Yep. He hit that pack at full speed. It was, you're right, one of the more memorable marks taken in football.
What was it like after the siren? Do you remember going in the rooms, the energy, adrenaline?
Yeah, I think it was more just a real sort of sigh of relief that it was like, it was the big game. It was like the big dogs were the Cats at that time. They were coming off 2007, 2008, being so dominant. We felt that year that we were primed and ready to go. It was a nice feeling. Although in the end they won the one that mattered, didn't they? Yeah. The one at the end of the season. But at that point of the year, it was just two teams going out. It was like two heavyweight boxers in that last quarter, like it was the last round of a fight, just swinging haymakers. You know, it was great footy up and down, and the good old days.
You can imagine, Ross. Boys, don't get ahead of yourself. Let's stay on track here.
I want to actually ask you later about Ross Lyon. You worked with him last Sunday. Yes. You've got an man
Hold
crush,
it.
Don't you?
Yeah, Gold. Hold it. We'll delve into that later. Hey, before we go to the break, thanks to our show sponsor who have jumped on board in the last couple of weeks, Jack Link's Beef Jerky. They never let you down. It is delicious, boys. It's got a delicious chew that makes the eating experience last longer than other snacks. It's more filling, high in protein, low in GI, so it can power you through the day. Plus, it's low fat and has no added preservatives, so it's a healthy snack as well as a delicious one too. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle today. Well, during these times of no live sport, we wanted to really bring a bit of fun and reminisce about some of the good times and really dive into some of our favourite ever sporting moments, the greatest in history, and we had to kick it off with this iconic moment.
If John Aloisi can score this goal, Australia will be there.
Sure.
I'm trying to do my maths.
4-2. 4-2. He wins it for us. John.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
He wins it for us.
He scores! Australia have got it!
John! Come on!
John Aloisi, the Confederations Cup hero, has done it in the biggest game of all.
Come on, Australia!
It was 2005, Australia up against Uruguay. John Aloisi kicks a penalty to take Australia to the World Cup. I think it's Craig Foster in the background, do we? Yelling and asking about the maths about things. But the man doing the calling was Simon Hill, who at the time was working for SBS. Mate, let's reminisce about some of the fun times, especially in the World Game at the moment as there's nothing being played. Is that one of the greatest moments of your career?
I've said this a few times. To be honest, I think everybody probably thinks it's the greatest moment of my career, but I actually didn't enjoy that call at all. and this is the dichotomy, okay, between a great sporting memory for so many people. And don't get me wrong, I'm grateful that I'm seared into people's consciousness along with Craig Foster. But from a professional point of view, and you might understand this, you know, you have a bad show on radio, you go home and you go, oh dear, that wasn't great. And no matter how many people say, oh no, it was fantastic, you know, in your heart of hearts, you didn't have a particularly good night. So it's a bit sort of bittersweet for me, that one. I much prefer the World Cup in Germany in 2006, the first game against Japan. where I thought my my call of the goals was an awful lot better. But there you go. You know, you can't pick and choose your moments. You only get one shot at it, and people love it or loathe it. And strangely enough, they seem to love it. Well, so I'll take it.
I suppose as a caller, Simon, you might have been, you know, a bit disappointed with your own performance, but it, sometimes it just comes down to that one moment. Do you, and I suppose being a caller for so long, and particularly that instance, do you have time to reflect and say, this could be replayed forever, this passage of play or this moment, and it's something you're conscious of, or is it something that afterwards you then go, oh wow, that's going to be replayed for the next 50 years?
Well, you're sort of conscious of it, but obviously, you know, on the actual night, you don't know what the result is going to be. You don't know how the game is going to play out. So, you know, it could be a scruffy tap in from 1 metre. It could be on penalties, as it turned out to be, which was hugely dramatic. You just don't know. So, you know, you're aware of the magnitude of the occasion. And clearly that night, you know, I knew that if Australia qualified, first time in 32 years, it was going to be pretty big. Quite how big? I don't think I could have imagined. No. It was monstrous, which is great for our game. But, yeah, for me personally. And the other thing that a lot of people forget is 3 days prior, I'd been in Montevideo calling the first leg. So the question I'm asked most of all is, you know, where did you go that night to party? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? I was jet lagged and I was cool. I went home to bed, which is not really what people want to hear, because, you know, they wrap up your commentary in their experience of that moment, which is totally understandable.
Yeah, and I remember where I was at that moment, Jay. I was at Fraser Gehrig, the former St Kilda player. I can remember being in his lounge room with a few of the Saints boys having a few beers, because it was in November, wasn't it? November, Simon?
November 16th.
It was off-season. Yeah.
Off-season. Just clarify, you were having a legal beer.
I can remember us partying pretty hard in the lounge room, carrying on like we were school kids after watching Aloisi score that goal.
Remember the lineup, because they practiced the penalty shootout, I think, the day before, and it was a different order because Bresciano got in. He was meant to take one, but he got injured. So it went Kuehl first, goal, then Lucas Neal goal. Tony Vidmar, I think, Simon, has never taken a penalty before or something like that. It was his first penalty. He nailed it. I think even his family in the crowd saying, what the hell is Tony doing up there? Then for Dukes, who was the safest bet in the house, misses unbelievably, and Aloisi seals the winner. But for me, Simon, it's Schwartz's heroics almost go underplayed. Like his save, the fourth save, or sorry, the second save on the fourth kick, diving to his left, right hand up in the air, an arm of absolute steel. Of all the great saves, where does that one rank up that you've seen?
In Australian terms, that's probably the best ever. But, you know, there's a couple of unwritten stories about that penalty shootout. Well, maybe not unwritten, but lesser known stories. First of all, you mentioned that practice that they had 24 hours earlier in an empty stadium at Olympic Park in Sydney, which they did. And Mark Viduka missed that night as well.
Oh, did he?
He did. And went exactly the same spots and put it wide. The second sort of unwritten story or lesser known story is that there was a late injury, I think, to Brett Emerton during extra time, which enforced a substitution. Up until that minute, Husedink was about to bring on Zeljko Kalats because he had
as a keeper,
because he had a reputation of being a great penalty saver. And of course, he's 6'7", you know, big wingspan. Oh. He thought that he might intimidate the Uruguayans more than Schwartzer. So, you know, it was Schwartz's greatest moment, which very nearly didn't happen. And only due to an injury to Brett Emerton did he stay on the pitch.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, sliding doors moments. And then we haven't missed a World Cup since. But surely, Emma, the celebration is what makes it. I mean, Aloisi with the shirt off, running a lap. It is like the perfect celebration that you just can't ever top. And I mean, I'm sure that was a spur of the moment, but that just made the whole situation capped off perfectly.
And Simon, before we let you go, let's be honest, Craig Foster, as you're trying to keep... he's so going off his tits in that moment, isn't he? Like, are you grabbing him, telling him to calm down a little bit?
Not just during the penalty shootout. Let me tell you, for about the last half an hour of the regulation 90, he'd gone. he was cheering every pass, applauding. I was having to hold his hands at one point to stop him clapping all over the commentary. Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant in hindsight, but obviously professionally on the night, that was very difficult for me.
Come on, Fozzie.
trying to keep the car on the road, so to speak, and Fozzie was just off on his own world. But look, you know, it's the way it happened. I remember thinking the day after, oh God, that was terrible, and we're going to get smashed for it. No. But because Australia won, it didn't matter, and in fact, it's sort of become a bit iconic, which is really nice. But geez, if that moment came around for me again, I hope I'd call it a bit better.
Oh, mate, you're tough on yourself. Yeah, absolutely love it. That's why it's our top one to start this new segment, our favourite sporting moments of all time. Simon Hill, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thanks, Simon.
Pleasure, guys. Have a great weekend.
Guys, it's also on socials at the moment. We'd love to hear your feedback on that moment, but also your other favourite moments, because we're going to delve into these in the next couple of weeks on Twitter and Facebook right now.
That's why sport is the best reality TV you will ever get. Yeah. I know there's all these shows, Maths and Survival, but this is reality TV at its best. You can't script it.
Yeah.
It's been some of the most memorable moments. So we want to hear some others because we want to play one every week and try and get someone who was involved in that iconic moment, part of the show.
I'm thinking Warnie's Ball of the Century, Kathy Freeman's 400.
Kathy!
We're going to try to get Bruce to talk about Kathy Freeman. Yeah, absolutely.
All of that.
Guys, get that list going.
Jack Lynch Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
How's the sandpaper t-shirt? It'd be quite the exfoliator, wouldn't it?
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
Thanks for joining us this morning. A big second hour coming up, including Lauren Jackson and Billy Brownless on the program. Jay-Z, this is your time, as always, to give us a pick one. I'm hoping it's a good one today.
Try and give a bit of a curly one. Emma, and normally it's about sort of, you know, current day players or modern footy issues or that sort of stuff, Joey, but I want to slightly rewind the clock isolation style here today. Which of your former teammates would you rather be stuck with in your house? Now, I think Stephen Baker is an obvious one because he's a bit mad.
Yep.
And the other one who's sort of super pesty is Stephen Milne.
Yep.
Is it Bakes or Milne you would rather be locked in your house with?
If they were together, that is the best fun because those two bounce off each other like you wouldn't believe. Like they made so many dull, flat weeks at a footy club so much more entertaining. But it's hard to go past Stevie Baker.
Really?
Oh, he's just the most random human you'll ever meet, and he makes us laugh every minute of the day.
We'd just be a little bit scared, though, as well. Like, what some of the stuff he could get? Like, wouldn't he just sort of wrestle you out of nowhere and that sort of stuff?
He's one of those guys that's prepared to hurt himself to make you laugh. So he's one of those guys, you'll tell him to jump on the bike and ride into the fence, and he does all those. He could have been on, was it Jackass?
Yeah.
He could have been on Jackass because he hurts himself for entertainment.
What did he do with the lawn bowls that day? Didn't he try and kick a lawn bowl?
Yeah, broke his toe. Yeah. But he used to have this trick where to dive into a pool when we were at a pool, instead of diving into the pool, he would dive onto the concrete next to the pool.
What?
And then
and
then fall into the water like he knocked himself out. Like it was
He's not right.
He's not right. No.
So
that's a rare Bakes kind of human.
Fun. Stevie Baker would be good fun.
Bakes. So that's
okay. Well, a fascinating week in the world and the world of sport this week. The IOC finally deeming it impossible for the Olympics to be held this year. Instead, the Tokyo Games to take place in 2021. But along with that, some good news. 2022 will see Australia, specifically Sydney, host the Women's Basketball World Cup, which is massive news. And Lauren Jackson is our greatest ever women's basketballer and joins us now on the line to discuss. Lauren, welcome to the show, and what a funny old week it's been.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, it's been crazy, huh?
Yeah, it has been. The Olympics decision seemed to have come late for a lot of us. We thought that they would postpone those games a couple of weeks ago. I know it's been asked of other athletes, but for basketballers specifically, how are they going to get themselves in the right position mentally, physically, and also, I guess, with the leagues they play all over the world to be able to play to their top performance in 2021 instead of 2020?
Yeah, well, it's a really uncertain time, and I think it's going to be for months and months ahead. So, like, a lot of the girls were sort of gearing up to go over to the WNBA, obviously for the Olympics, get back to the Olympics and be as fit as they possibly can be. So I think, you know, is next year going to be the same team as it would have been this year? Probably not. I think, you know, injuries happen. All the athletes do everything they can to get themselves in prime shape for, you know, the four-year cycle. And, you know, now they've got to sit back at home and sort of reevaluate everything and I guess start planning again. It's sort of back to the drawing board for the next year and figuring out how they stay in the shape that they need to be in to be selected for this team.
Lauren, I know it would have been incredibly disappointing for a lot of the Opals, obviously, but was it also a significant relief? Like, I would imagine that this would have been weighing on athletes' minds if they did have the choice, if the Olympics were going ahead, you know, if they did have to go, just the health risks involved. Like, have you been speaking to players and just finding that they're a bit relieved by all this as well?
I have. I've spoken to a few of our girls, and I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago there was sort of a little bit of apprehension, but it was still like, yeah, no, we can do this. And, you know, Tokyo, they've been pretty good and they've had things in place to stop the virus spreading and things like that. But look, I can only imagine that there is a bit of relief. I mean, also too, because everyone is literally shut down, so it's going to be so hard for them to train. And then also on top of that is the season prior to the Olympics, so the WNBA season, which should have been starting pre-season about now, they don't know what they're doing. So I think, like, there's just a lot of uncertainty around everything, like the AFL guys are sort of going through and the rugby league guys as well. So it's an interesting time, but I think also good because at least now they can sit back, take a breath. These girls don't get much of a break ever, so I probably think that this is probably good for them and their bodies and just to sort of heal and reflect maybe.
We're chatting to Australia's greatest ever basketballer, Lauren Jackson. Lauren, on a more broader scale, women's sport in Australia, it's obviously booming at the moment, but I wanted to ask, how do the female basketballers feel? I suppose a bit more about the publicity and the attention the AFLW and the cricketers are getting. Yet these women are some of the best in the world, and our WNBL competition is probably the second best competition in the world. How do the women feel about the attention some of the other female sports are attracting compared to the basketballers?
Look, I think there's definitely a level of frustration there. There's no doubt, but I think like people can sort of see steps being taken for the league to improve. And at the moment, so I'm head of women in basketball and I came in about 6 months ago. And, you know, we've had a pretty good run. Like we had a great season just past. Fortunately, you know, it finished right before this virus sort of took off. But, you know, things are good. We're sort of professionalizing it. We're trying to professionalize it further and do what we can to sort of bring different revenue streams in. You know, the WNBL has been around for 40 seasons. It's going to be around for 40 more. It's just, you know, we've got to find a way to sort of market our sort of area in the market at the moment.
Because it is a wonderful product, Jay. I love the final series that was just on, Canberra and the South Side. It was an amazing final series, and we've just got to continue to grab that attention because it's a wonderful standard of basketball.
I remember watching Michelle Timms. Like, she was one of my heroes as a youngster. Yeah. I used to love her toughness and aggressiveness back in the day. She was an absolute legend. Hey, Lauren, how's it going on the home front for you? How have you been passing the time? Have you got a hoop out in the backyard? And do you sort of go out there and sort of just strut your stuff back out there to pass the time a little bit? What have you been doing?
Well, look, I'm in lockdown also, as everybody is, with my two kids, my two little boys. So I've got a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
How's that going?
Oh, we're all in that same boat, Lauren. All of us are slowly tearing our hair out.
But yeah, so I'm working as well. So obviously we've got our next season coming up, meant to be starting in October. There's, you know, just trying to put some contingencies in place if that's delayed or moved back. Sort of working on professionalizing the league to a better standard. Good things are happening. It's good for me personally because I get to actually spend time and focus. My au pair can't get a flight home to Germany at all, so she's stuck here, unfortunately, but fortunately for me.
Yes.
So she's looking after the kids. And we've got a bit of a compound. Yeah, my parents live right next door, so we sort of, the kids are running between houses.
Jesus, this sounds lux, Lauren.
Yeah.
It is. We've got a pool and a basketball court out the back, so you're more than welcome to come on over.
Yeah.
Everyone can stay here.
Wow. Before we go, let's pump up the fact that we are hosting the Women's Basketball World Cup in only 2 years' time. What a great announcement and a real lift for basketball fans this week.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, I sort of look back to, you know, you were talking about Michelle Timms back Oz 94. That was the last time Australia hosted the World Cup. And that just platformed our league, our national team into 20 years of just great success on a world stage. So I think this is really going to be a boost for women's basketball in the country. We know that people love our Opals. So I'm sure they're going to want to see them compete in the National League here. And I think it's just going to give us a real... just a real great starting point to just push the sport back to where it belongs, you know?
I tell you what, Lauren, with you in charge of many of the elements of the basketball competition here in Australia and also going forward to the Olympics and the World Cup, feels like the women's side of things is in really good hands. So congratulations to you. Great spokesperson as always. And we really enjoyed you having you on the program this morning.
Good on you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Lauren Jackson there ahead of Tokyo 2020 to be played in 2021 and then the Basketball World Cup in 2022 in Sydney. Footy never sleeps. Doesn't matter that the season has been postponed, Jay-Z. And yesterday he wrote an article about what could potentially happen when the final series rolls around at the end of the year. What's the latest there?
Going to be a unique season. And clearly Club Chiefs guys are thinking how they can add some tricks into this fixture, in particular the finals, to add a bit of extra bang for bucks. We know the final series currently goes for 4 weeks. Everyone watches it. Everyone loves these games. Why not increase it to 5 weeks, have either a 10-team final series, Joey, or effectively the wild card weekend? So we've spoken about this in the past before. The AFL has knocked it in the head previously. I reckon this is a huge chance to come in. So essentially, 7th would play 10th and 8th would play 9th in the traditional pre-final series bye for those two extra final spots. So last year that was Bulldogs versus, I think, Port Adelaide, 7th versus 10th, and Essendon, who snuck in 8th, would take on 9th Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Which would be these cutthroat games as extras, create a bit of money. What do you think about that? I mean, are you rewarding the lesser teams, or would you be all for it?
No, I don't think you're rewarding the lesser teams. I think you're rewarding the top six because they will get the first week off. So it's almost like they're automatically in the finals. And then those other four teams can fight out the wild card weekend, as you said. I like the idea. Yep. I think we've got to continue to be creative now going forward, especially, as I said, we're trying to generate more revenue. And it seems like the AFL have been very clever with the opportunities this season presents, if it does go ahead, shorter quarters, 17 rounds, all these little ideas. Potentially, I think maybe a night grand final could be an option this year. All these little things that they've sort of wanted to bring into the AFL down the track, this is almost a real opportunity to do it this year. So I like the wild card idea. I think you still get two really good games of footy on that bye, the weekend off, and then you've got your top six that go automatically through. I think it'll be great for football.
Broadcasters would love it. The other left field idea is a best of three grand final series. The Sydney Swans have campaigned heavily for this in the past for a fairness aspect because all the grand finals obviously played at the MCG, the home of the Melbourne-based team. Now, under a best of three grand final series, you have one in Melbourne, one in Sydney, and then one possibly back at Melbourne if that team has finished higher. The trouble with that is currently Travis Old in the AFL crew trying to cram the season and the finals into a short space of period as it is. So for have a best of three grand final series, that would have to go over 3 weeks. Yeah, we probably don't have the luxury of that.
No, wouldn't work either. I think the way that we play our game, you want one game of football, one grand final, leave it all out on the field, do or die, best team wins, and that'll be great. But I like the wild card idea, and I think there's plenty of options going forward. I also wouldn't mind scrapping the Marsh series potentially going forward, extending the season for a couple of extra weeks.
So how many rounds would you have in your season proper then if you didn't have the Marsh
maybe
series?
24, 25 rounds. Again, trying to generate more revenue for the competition. Scrap the Marsh series. Let the clubs play their own little internals or scratch matches. Rock up first week of March. Bang, away we go.
30 weeks of footy. It could be a distinct possibility going forward, Jay-Z.
It absolutely could. And I wonder whether we're going to appreciate footy a bit more. Just a final thought on this. On the back, when it comes back with the players, the media, everyone, whether we just, you know, maybe up on the positive, maybe a little bit more than the negative. I think the appreciation is going to go up for the game on the back of all this, Em.
I think that's happening around the globe in other things as well. We're becoming a lot more appreciative of our home situations and what we have at the moment. It's good to be positive. Exactly right. If you've got your health, you've got family, you're going all right.
Jack Lynch Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
With Joey, Jay-Z and Emma Friedman.
Following us, boys, the Saturday Rub, they are ploughing on through, continuing on, having a bit of fun this afternoon. And, of course, Billy Brownless is part of that crew and he joins us in the studio now. Good morning to you, Bill.
G'day, Em. Joe and Jay, how are we?
Good, boys.
And Hosemary, how are you?
Thanks, Bill.
Good on you.
Billy, how are you going with the isolation stuff? Joey said he's doing the boot camp, the circuit training out the back. Are you sort of you've been doing the skipping out the back and the
none of that,
push ups and stuff like that.
No, I haven't got a gym, so I haven't got weights or anything. So I'm not doing that.
A few squats.
I did a few squats the other day. I did five, and
that's what I said. I did some squats, and I was sore for 3 days afterwards.
I tell you what, I have done. I'm not a cooker. But I've actually been cooking my own meals, like getting them out. And I had some calamari, which is not hard. You just have to heat that
put
up.
Put it in the pan, yeah.
Chuck in the microwave.
I had a chicken schnitzel, which I heated up, which wasn't hard. Yeah. And then I cooked myself a steak last night because I'm on my own. So it's quite, I'm actually sick of myself. I don't know what to do.
Hey, well, we're glad to have you in here. And you've got a great array of guests on the program this afternoon, including Gil McLaughlin, Paul Marsh, Phil Davis, and the Chief, Jason Dunstall. But there's one more that you wanted to give a plug to, Bill.
I do. A teammate of mine at Geelong, he come from Colac. He was a bit different, a bit unusual. His name is Austin McCrabb, and he's got some of the funniest stories you'll ever hear. One of them, he rode to Perth one day on a bike. Wow. Just thought he'd do that.
Wow.
Something different.
Casual,
And had a spare tyre around his neck, and he nearly got to Perth without having a flat. Gets a flat. Guess what? Spare tyre's the wrong side.
Oh,
size.
No.
Oh, man. So anyway, it goes on and on. Some of the things he did on footy trips and things like that was just unbelievable. So Austin McCrabb about, I think, 1:30-ish today.
I thought that was a made-up name, Austin McCrabb. Yeah. I remember hearing I've heard about Austin McCrabb. Yeah.
We went to St Kilda one day. We were out on the ground before the game. This is true. One of the Saints supporters, what's your real name, you tax dodger? That is honest to God. They yelled that out to him. Yeah. He used to train in the little black or the school socks. Yeah, we'd all have Geelong socks on or St Kilda socks or whatever.
That's weird.
He'd wear the little black socks to train.
Jesus, sounds like a real unusual cat, mate.
Oh, yeah. You get them all. You get them all at footy club. So looking forward to talking to Austin.
Good news, Em, that the races are going ahead. So Mark Zara, negative coronavirus test. That was a big win for the community.
Saved us all.
Wow. You've got the gold normally, Em. What are we having a look at today?
We're having a look at both in New South Wales and Victoria. There's some great racing going on. But I guess in the big races today at Rose Hill. So you're taking a look at the Tancred Stakes, which is race 6, I think. So you've got some big stars in that, like Avilius and Mustajir and Very Elegant. And then you take a look at the Vinery Stud Stakes, and basically it's a match race between two horses, Fun Star and Probabil. But I agree, it was great that Mark tested negative for COVID-19, because racing's about the only thing on a Saturday that now you can really enjoy and watch and have a bet on your phone and, of course, gamble responsibly. But it's good fun, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, certainly. There was nearly going to be the end of the world if it come back positive, because we can't do all the peas were nearly gone.
Yes, I know about all the peas.
Yes, nearly all gone.
Are you gonna have a bet? What are you gonna have a bet this afternoon?
And we're betting responsibly, and we all know that.
Just $5. Yeah.
Race 3, number 5. Race 2, number 5. Race 1, number 5.
Really?
5, 5, 5.
That's at Rose Hill.
This is Sydney.
Sydney.
Yes. Yeah. But I do like. I heard James Cummings during the week, and he doesn't say a lot, does he, Em?
No, because he works for Godolphin, so they're pretty closed in the way that they operate, Bill. Yeah.
Race 8, number 9, Puka Kuala.
Pahukawara.
Well, it depends which school you went to and what side of the river. Whatever it is. Race 8, number 9. He said, whatever you lost on this horse, because it is a bit of a money muncher, whatever you lost on this horse, have it on today.
Ooh. Okay, that's at Rose Hill as well.
If Jay Cummings is saying that,
I'm
jumping on with
Jay. I've just got a little one. Jay, you love the little random ones at different places. This is Wyong.
Yep.
I've been sent. It's probably breaking confidences with a little text message I got. But race 4, number 4, it's a first starter, paying about $15.
Ooh.
Just have a little bit each way.
Yep.
Who trains it?
Kieran Maher trains it.
Okay.
It'll run very well. Major Murphy, race 4, number 4, Wyong.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone. Just stays between us.
If I'm having a little bit of money somewhere, I'm going to go against Very Elegant for Mustajir number 2 in that race up in Sydney, the Tancred as well, just to mix things up a little bit, because it can't be a favourites day. It's got to be a big day.
Exactly.
Billy, thanks for joining us. Good luck this afternoon.
I heard your magic sporting moments. Very good. Well done. That was good.
Thank you.
I reckon I've got one better.
Go on.
Oh, well, 1994 final at the MCG against King Footscray. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later.
We can do that one.
You've got your own show, mate. Save the deal.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Who wants to kick off?
Do you want me to go?
Yeah, mate.
Coles this week, early morning.
Was Coles last week as well?
Yep. Back in there. Brave. Brave supermarket shopping. Look, I got 3 1-litre containers of soy milk, Bonsoy soy milk, the orange container. Now, I didn't realise that you're only allowed 2 at the moment. Now, I got 3 and got the full death stare and warning from the supermarket attendant, clerk. Now, give me a spell. It was an innocent mistake. I didn't need the full dress down. If I'd got 20, Joey, and I was fully hoarding, fair enough. Yep. But 3, that's all.
Are you listening to this bloke? Are you listening to him? Like,
you're
mate,
part of the problem.
You're part of the problem.
No, well, I didn't know of the 2 limit, and I only surpassed it by 1. You know, we would go through 3 litres of that a week, if you know what I mean. No. Have a lot of coffee.
Are you a full soy family?
I've converted. It's quite good.
That happened to me. I've been getting a bit more indigestion lately because I've been drinking more red wine at home. So I had to go get some Mylanta, and I needed 2 packets because 1 packet of Mylanta doesn't get very far. The attendant said, sorry, mate, you can only take 1 Mylanta packet. And I was like, you know how bad my indigestion is because I've been drinking red wine every night? Come on. Spell. I'm with Jay there. Give me a spell.
Thank you, Jay. Okay. It was innocent mistakes.
Yeah. I'm not trying to hoard. I'm not trying to sell it overseas.
Mate, you've got to get scurvy soon, all of you, from drinking your soy milk and not getting enough vitamin D in the sunlight. Mine is actually a legit one. You might have seen this during the week. Britney Spears. she claims to have broken the 6-second mark for the 100-meter dash. So,
what's she smoking?
Congratulations, Brittany, on beating Usain's world record by nearly 4 seconds. Give me a spell, mate. I don't know what you're on.
Yeah. She's enjoying her time at home, smoking something Britney Spears. But now it's time for...
A true legend never lets you down, on or off the field.
Unbelievable performance here.
This is the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
What a champion becomes a legend.
For Jack Link's beef jerky. Jack never lets you down. Find it in the snack aisle.
I want to give a shout out first to all the health workers that are out there working overtime, doing an unbelievable job. Yep. I know they've still got a long period ahead of them and are doing a lot of great things, but they get a shout out. But I wanted to give special mention at Dead Set Legend. I love these stories. And we know some of these sports stars have a lot of money, but have you seen Drew Brees and his wife?
No.
They're donating $5 million to feed families in Louisiana for as long as it takes through this coronavirus. They're going to deliver over 10,000 meals a day to families in need in Louisiana. So Drew Brees, over $5 million out of his own pocket.
Good one.
To help feed families in Louisiana through the lockdown and people that are struggling there. So I always love seeing those stories. I saw that Rafa Nadal is trying to do something similar now for Spain. Roger Federer donating over $1.5 million as well. So there is still a lot of good to come out of this, and a lot of the athletes are donating a lot of their money. So
Rui be doing something similar?
I'm sure. Rui's setting up OzKick online for kids. You see that? If you've got young kids and you want to learn some OzKick because you can't actually take them, Nick Riewoldt's Instagram, they're going to be doing OzKick virtual reality online. So that's a good idea by Rui.
That was the Dead Set Legend of the Week. Thanks to the legendary Jack Link's beef jerky. Jack never lets you down.
Pass me some of that, Jack Link. Stop
I'm taking it home. I'm taking it home.
What's on the agenda this afternoon, boys? Bit of couch time, bit of racing, entertain the kids. They can watch the racing, can't they?
More trampoline.
less wiggles today, more racing on TV for me.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week on 105.1 Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
If you have to explain a joke, it's not particularly funny.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.
Jack Link's beef jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
And it was a great week, wasn't it, Joey?
I liked it. I did like my own work this morning.
That was good.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Listener app.